Good evening and welcome to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. And with me is Dr. Bruce Parker, who is the deputy director of Out Boulder County. He has just joined Out Boulder County back in November and is a new face to many of you. So I thought you should get to know him a little bit, and he's going to talk a little bit about the brand new building that they're in and what that means to all of us. So welcome to the show, Bruce.
Thank you for having me, Karen. I'm excited.
Why don't you start with telling us just a bit about yourself?
You know, when you move to a new place and you join an organization as connected to the community as Out Boulder County is, you do this a lot. So I was raised in the mountains of Eastern Kentucky by a single mother, an older brother who's 9 years older than me. Oddly enough, his name is Parker Parker. I went to college in Ohio at Antioch College, made my way to Purdue for a master's in education. That's where I got involved in trans activism and sort of started working on trans inclusion and policy and legislative priorities for LGBTQ people, and then made my way to Louisiana to pursue my PhD in education. While I was there, I did a lot of community advocacy and ended up lobbying a then House member, John Bell Edwards. I successfully got him to change some positions on LGBTQ issues, and we developed a good relationship. So when he launched his bid for governor, I joined the fundraising team and did a lot of outreach to progressive folks. He won. And I joined the administration and spent 6 years in the administration as the director of community programs, oversaw a lot of programs and services, not that different than what I do now, and also did outreach. And then when it was time to start figuring out what to do next, I saw this wonderful opportunity and applied to join the Out Boulder team. And here I am, having never been to Boulder before and only been to Colorado once prior to moving here.
You're kind of making a diagonal line across the United States. Now you're making a swoop up a little bit into the West and the North.
That seems right.
You must have a big culture shock from each state you've moved to. They're quite different.
You know, I've only been here a few months, but Colorado is my favorite so far. I've done LGBT advocacy in Indiana and Louisiana, and it is refreshing to be somewhere where bills pass and good things happen for LGBTQ people. So we're not always playing defense, and we can focus on support and services and events and policy change versus just fighting to protect what gains we've made.
What do you particularly focus on at the center?
So I am the deputy director. I oversee all of the programs and services, and I oversee communications. So I do a lot of management and staff support, do a lot of evaluating and brainstorming for how to grow our programming. So that includes like the youth program, the transgender programming, the BIPOC and QDPOC programming. That includes the education and research components of what we do in terms of sort of trainings for businesses. It includes sort of our general adult programming in the center that happens. The mental health program is probably the one I'm the most excited about right now because it started about the time that I started. And so I sort of got to be a part of watching it get up from the ground.
Mm-hmm. The grand opening to the whole building just happened. Can you tell us a little bit about that? And why is this a big deal, this building?
The first thing I would say is to really understand why it's a big deal, I would invite all of your listeners to come by. The center is open. We are excited to show people around. And it's just such a beautiful and magical space that people need to kind of see it to understand the magic of it. Out Boulder County had been a relatively small organization until recently, and there has just been a boom in terms of budget and staff and programming and services. And so I think they outgrew the building they were in before I got here. And I spent 1 month in it, and I will be honest and tell you that with the staff were on top of each other, and you could say hi to someone from upstairs in a corner and someone at the front door could hear you. And so it was very difficult to have meetings. It was very difficult to have programs and events. We have this awesome space with a dedicated youth space. So the youth have the whole bottom floor. There's sort of space for a gender affirming apparel closet. There's space for community events to happen from our partners. We can host our own things here instead of having to always find venues. The most important is it really gives a space for our programming to grow and our services to grow to meet unmet community needs. And so our mental health program is a great example. So the mental health program manager will do therapeutic appointments and case management appointments in the center. And people can walk in and get case management or therapeutic appointments if they're in crisis. There was absolutely no space for that in the old space. And we now have so much space because we still have the downtown space that we're actually launching some addiction services over the summer to also serve LGBTQ people who are in recovery or trying to sort of stay in recovery. And so the space just really gives OBC room to grow over the next few years. And, you know, the frame that I have is how amazing for LGBTQ and allied community members to have a home at a time when across the country, they're just increasingly under attack by hostile legislators and hostile politicians. And so it just feels so great to be opening up a space and creating a space for people to feel safe where they can fully express themselves at a time when it's scary to be LGBTQ.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that the location has really changed. Alberta County has always been downtown. Once it actually got a space for a while, there wasn't even a space when it was in its infancy. But when it did get a space, it's always been downtown Boulder. And it originally was very Boulder centric, and later county got added over the years. And now the location of this building seems to be more addressing the rest of the county, just not just Boulder City.
Yeah, I think that's right. We were invested in making sure we were accessible. So there's a bus line that goes very close. There's a bike and walking trail right here, and there's plenty of parking. And so we can be gotten to from the city. A plus of the space is honestly Longmont is a big community that we serve too. And so we're kind of between Boulder and Longmont now. I think we're technically in North Boulder, but we're sort of between the two. And so the Longmont folks who were missing having their own office in Longmont, I think, are sort of responding really well to the new location too.
Mm-hmm. And those of us out in the East County appreciate it being on the east side of Boulder, so we don't have to slog through the horrendous traffic in the boulders. So
that's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I lived 5 miles from my office, and it would take 45 minutes to an hour to get there. And so the traffic here feels refreshing to me. I'm like, people just don't know how lucky they are.
Well, some of us do, but we are glad we don't have to mess with it. So that's a really happy outcome, I think, for all of us. So what else should we know about the building or about you or the programs these days? Anything else you want to point out to us?
I know later in the program, we're talking to Chris, who will tell you some of the awesome things going on in the youth program. You should definitely ask them about the recent Kiki Ball that we hosted. It had over 200 people attend, and it was just a magical event, but I won't steal their thunder. I'll let them talk to the listeners about it. I think the thing that I would say is it's a really exciting time to be a part of the Boulder County community. We're just growing, hiring people. The budget's growing, the services and programs we offer are growing. And that's really what it's all about. And so if you have ideas for things that you think would benefit the LGBTQ community or just the Boulder County community that you think we can be a part of, please reach out to me. And we are more than willing to work with folks to try to make it happen.
And how would they get in touch with you?
Email me at bparker@outboulder.org.
And you can get all the information on how to get a hold of Bruce, how to contact the center. You can drop in at 3340 Mitchell Lane up awesome. In Northeast Boulder. What do you do for fun, Bruce?
I am a board gamer and a video gamer. So I spend a lot of time gaming with my partner. And then I'm really enjoying the outside here. Coming from the heat of Louisiana, it's just refreshing. Even the cold, like when it's, this is great. Hiking is a thing that we're doing a lot. And then I've been spending a little more time in Denver over the last few weeks, kind of getting to know what's going on down there because we hadn't been at all until about 3 weeks ago.
So you're just exploring the area because you're still pretty new. You haven't experienced all the seasons yet.
I think 2 weeks from now makes 6 months. And so I think I'm about at a 6 month mark.
Well, thank you very much, our deputy director, and move into our youth program assistant.
Thank you so much, Karen.
Welcome back to Outsources. I'm your host, Karen Rayforth. And the second part of our program is with a new guest from Out Boulder County, staff member and youth programmer, Chris Casoniega. Welcome, Chris.
Welcome, Karen. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you come and talk about a little bit about you as well as about your programming that's going on with youth.
So my name is Chris Castaneda, pronouns they, them, AF for any Hispanohablantes, any Spanish speakers, and I am the program assistant at Boulder County. Some little fun facts about me. I'm an Aries, first and foremost. It's one of my favorite things to share. I also graduated from CU Boulder with degrees in theater and ethnic studies. And for those of you who are unfamiliar, ethnic studies very much analyzes kind of the historical oppression and marginalization of underrepresented communities and kind of gaining that knowledge, as well as, you know, understanding the theories of BIPOC leaders as well, and kind of what they have brought forth, you know, Audre Lorde, intersectionality, Carlos Munoz, you know, all these really important folks that have contributed a lot, but may not have been recognized in the mainstream academic world. Mm-hmm. I also actually am a part of a fraternity. It's called Sigma Lambda Beta International Fraternity Incorporated, and it's a multicultural fraternity. I found it because being first generation college student, but also first generation. My family's originally from Peru and they moved here right before I was born. I'm the only person in my entire family, both extended and direct, born in the United States. My brother was born in Peru, my cousins, my tias, my uncles, everyone. And so it kind of gave me a really interesting perspective on kind of navigating a lot of these systems. And so I grew up all around Denver metro area, you know, Thornton, Aurora, Denver, graduated down in Aurora before coming to Sea Boulder. And it was hard. It was always challenging, you know, kind of trying to figure out where you fit in. And it was thanks to being able to join a multicultural fraternity that I was able to get connections with a lot of the BIPOC community within CU Boulder. As it's very small, you know, everyone kind of knows everybody, and I've gained some incredible friendships. And that ethnic studies degree really only reinforced that, being able to connect with a lot of BIPOC staff and students as well. I did a lot of kind of group organizing as part of a group called Pumas y Mecha, which is a Chicano civil rights and activist group on campus. I really flourished during COVID, you know, because all of a sudden you're not allowed to go out, you're not allowed to do all these things. And so how could Pumas y Mecha still function? And we really did a lot of just community bonding through the virtual screen, and we were able to get these new folks who were also really intimidated in attending these predominantly white institutions to really just connect with each other and find that community when they were lacking it, both in their personal, classroom, academic, professional, just all sorts of their lives. I also helped found a group called IDEAS at CU Boulder. And what that is, it stands for inclusivity, diversity, equity, and accessibility for the stage. After the Black Lives Matter protests in 2020, some friends wrote a very powerful letter just addressing the issues in the school of music and the Department of Theater and Dance, talking about the racism and her bad portrayals, I guess, for lack of a better word, of a lot of like race relationships on the stage. And so it was with myself and these folks and other members that we ended up meeting with a lot of the higher ups, these chairs, kind of creating the space for BIPOC participants of College of Music and the Department of Theater and Dance into really just kind of understanding, hey, this is how we fight. You know, I took a lot of my studies backgrounds. I was able to apply that, meeting with the College of Music dean and all the important folks, right? And then also doing that with theater with Kevin Rich and Erica Randall and Bud Coleman and, you know, all the kind of leaders to really make sure that we are working for a better programming that is more cognizant of the harmful racial dynamics that have been portrayed, not because of just CU, but because of how we exist in these predominantly white institutions. Mm-hmm. Along with that, you know, in my free time, I'm a burgeoning drag artist and slowly but surely getting my name out there. Uh-huh. I wanted to do it when COVID happened, and that was always interesting. But yeah, so I have a drag persona. Her name is Princess Patron, but you can call her PP for short. and of course, I am also a very avid gamer. I love video games. I've always played video games, and I especially love to cook. Cooking is definitely one of my passions that I just was able to really dedicate a lot during the pandemic.
Well, so listeners, listen up. There's a lot of things that would attract you to Chris and coming to the center. And if nothing else, your stomach might say, hey, go find out some nice recipes from Chris, or maybe a sample.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I love baking. My baking used to be awful, but let me tell you, I can make a mean cheesecake now. My favorite's a chai cheesecake.
Mm. That sounds good to me. I'm ready. I'll be right over. You just had a very successful Kiki Ball.
For those of you who are unfamiliar, Kiki Ball is a celebration of queer joy and queer creativity. I did a movie series, and there was a little bit of kind of ballroom culture involved in that for Pride. We hosted our Cutie Pop Retreat. For those of you who aren't familiar, it stands for Queer and Trans People of Color Retreat, or a youth program where they were able to kind of have a retreat to really build that community, gain a lot of workshops, gain a lot of perspectives on just kind of what it means to live that intersectional life of being queer and or trans and a person of color and your different identities that you constantly carry. And so it was a really life-changing experience where we examined ballroom culture, because so often we talk about queer culture, right? What is queer culture? What are we creating? And what's really powerful about ballroom is that it was created by queer and trans people of color, or queer and trans people of color. So being able to highlight in particular, strong Black and Brown role models for our youth was really important. We actually also finished with a Vogue workshop where they learned how to Vogue. We battled it out. We learned how to walk runway and just really encapsulating that beauty and pride that exists within us that we're often told, hey, we don't really get represented. We haven't been seen. Back to the Kiki Ball. I have a friend, her name is Lily James, an absolute icon, a beautiful Black trans woman. And she is the mother of the House of Lavasia's Colorado chapter. Basically, in ballroom culture, you have houses, and these are kind of groups that form together, build community together, really build that chosen family that really came out of adopting youth that were suffering from homelessness and had nowhere else to go, that were living in the city, where queer elders would take these folks in, care for them, provide them housing. And so that's kind of how the house is formed. So we wanted to host our own things called Kiki sessions. And what is a Kiki session? It's really just a space for community members to come through and just not just build community, but also practice your skills for ballroom. You know, in ballroom, there's a category for anything and everything and every identity, right? You know, you have Vogue Femme, your little hand performance, doing your dips, which some of you may know as death drops by drag queens. But you also have different categories such as building outfits. How do you construct garments? How are you walking the runway? How are you presenting realness, showing off the face category or your beauty and highlighting your, you know, your self-care? Tiki sessions are a way for us to gather around, gain that community, help each other practice, and just give each other inputs. And also, it's a place to have fun. I love that I get to go every Sunday to the building, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. if you're ever interested in joining us. And just being able to Vogue the house down, that's my category, and Vogue with my fellow Voguers. And we just have fun. We interact. We partnered with Oasis, which is from Bolton County Public Health. And we wanted to throw a ball, not just because, you know, balls are great and awesome, but we also wanted to give this experience to queer youth and particular queer youth of color, because they've been talking about the queer youth of color in our community have talked about not seeing themselves represented. And so what happened was we planted the Oasis and their youth team called YAC, or Youth Advocating for Change, planned a GSA summit for all the GSA leaders in the community, GSA members, teachers, even parents, where they kind of talked about ballroom culture, had some workshops, things like that. And right after the GSA summit, these youth could get fed and then go see the ball. And so this ball had over 200 people, and we had members from the House of Flora and the House of Lavasia participate. And so we incorporated a lot of youth elements where we created youth categories as well. So that way youth could see, hey, how do the adults do it? How do the big wigs do it? These experienced folks, and how can I emulate this? And it was really fun. It was spring fling themed. So we had a lot of different kind of spring related activities. You know, you had bringing it in your Sunday finest, you know, that church wear, how formal are you? We had some really creative runways like Flower Power and Singing in the Rain, which had some fantastic moments for both of them. You know, a face category was called Pretty in Pink. So we had everybody dressed in pink, showing off their inner beauty, really embracing that self-love, and of course, Vogue Femme. And so all these categories kind of had like a little theme to it that the youth went above and beyond on, along with, of course, the ballroom house members. And so it was really just a beautiful event. You know, you had such a strong showing in Longmont, where in the Elks Lodge, and I did not know this about the Elks Lodge beforehand, but if any of you are familiar with the Elks Lodge, it is like kind of like a conservative thing, right? But the owner or the person who runs it was super supportive because their daughter was like super into this. And You know, their daughter had walked a category, was like super having fun. And the mom told us, thank you so much for doing this. Like seeing all these youth and seeing my daughter being able to participate in something that I would have never dreamed of, you know, having this experience and just being able to be celebrated in a sober space of queer joy. You know, when we think of queer joy, we think dance and clubs and like alcohol, you know, but we can have this queer celebration without needing all of those. It had such a strong showing. And even now people are like, when is the next ball? When are we going to see this again? And so it was thanks to the collaboration of the House of LaBeija and the House of Flora, who not only judged the panels, also emceed the whole event, also were the DJs, also their strong participation and just slaying the category, you know, serving the house down. Without them, you know, it wouldn't have been a real ball. And so it was a beautiful event that I'm really excited to kind of see out Boulder County progress and further this.
So maybe next year?
One of our new hires, her name is Ruby Lopez, and she is our BIPOC and Spanish Access Coordinator. I think QDPOC and Spanish Access Coordinator is her recent title change. And so she's going to be handling the ball program in the future. I know that she's super excited and is looking to do one soon, or at least support the community. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So she is in charge. I'll be, of course, helping her. And I'm really excited to see what she does because she has some brilliant ideas. So all I can say for the future ball stuff is at the very least next year, but also stay tuned because who knows what else we're going to have.
What else is coming up soon?
April 22nd is Day of Silence. And for those who are unfamiliar, Day of Silence was started by Glisten, who does national advocacy for youth in schools in particular. And Day of Silence is a day where LGBT folks and allies take a vow of silence to bring awareness to the voices that have been silenced and marginalized and lost due to LGBTQ harm and violence. And so what we have done is something called Night of Noise, and it's breaking the silence. You know, so often we hear LGBTQ lives surrounded in a lot of trauma and pain, and that's not all that we have. We are filled with beauty and excitement and joy. And so we have a youth intern team that plans an event centered around that queer joy. So they organize a march down Pearl Street, going to Boulder High School. And there we have community members who will be giving out resources, tabling, free swag and stuff to all these youth participants, going into a section of performers and speakers, you know, Vogue artists, drag queens, even a choir, you know, a trans choir, Phoenix choir. This has all been organized by our youth as well. Myself and my supervisor, Jenna Howerton, just kind of overseeing, making sure everything's, you know, rolling. But our youth team of three interns have planned this whole event, you know, getting these speakers, getting these performers, creating the budget, making sure our youth after party has the food that they need, the activities, raffles and things like that. And just a way for our youth to kind of find that community while also learning how advocacy works and what protest and, you know, standing up for your rights and beliefs look like. You know, we see so much happening right now with all these don't say bills and basically banning LGBTQ matters in the curriculum, when the more we try to erase these identities, less representation they get, less resources they get. Seeing yourself represented already does so much wonders, and to eliminate that representation only causes further strife within our LGBTQ youth. LGBTQ youth on average have higher suicide rates. Colorado in particular is very high, like is like top five of suicide rates in the country for teens. So just being able to do our part to make sure that LGBTQ teens are represented in their schools, making sure that they have the resources they need to protect them. You know, we're not protecting our trans youth enough because there is an epidemic of violence against them. There is this constantly centering them and making sure that they continue being marginalized, banning in sports, banning curriculum, outing youth, which is incredibly dangerous to families that may not support them, you know? And so just being able to really focus on what Day of Silence means, how the fight is still going on, and how to celebrate being with each other and being liberated in that regard, you know, is incredibly important to continue the well-being of our youth.
I think it makes it really important this year when you think about Florida's Don't Say Gay law and the whole muzzling of teachers and making families as well as youth invisible makes that Day of Silence even more poignant and important, and the Night of Noise following. I think, you know, both are Some people would say in Colorado, well, you know, we're not going to do that, so there's no need. But we also know that the social studies curriculum was just getting relooked at with the concept of removing anything about gender and sexual orientation below the fourth grade, which is crazy from our perspective, of course, since we know children sometimes identify with or know that they are in the queer community somehow, or their parents are. And so making all that invisible, even to young children, is ridiculous. So we need to start early with youth and continue on with their support, so they do see those positive messages like you're talking about, Chris, that it really is so important, I think, to our youth to get a counteract for the toxicity that's going on around the country. And a little bit in our own state as well. We have to watch, we got to be vigilant, obviously, because things get rolled back that where progress is made, things are, you know, backlash happens and we have to stay vigilant. So it's, yeah, it's so important what you're, the work that you're doing. We're about out of time. So is there anything else that you think our listeners need to know? I'll be putting in how to get in touch with you and the center into the news blog and the archives for everybody, but is there anything else that you really wanted to say you didn't get to say?
I mean, we do a lot throughout the year to make sure that our youth are engaged. You know, we have 3 weekly youth groups for all different age ranges and locations. You know, we have a Lavender graduation coming up celebrating our high school or GED equivalent graduates, and really we just want to make sure that we're protecting our trans youth, because that is so incredibly important. We're protecting our LGBTQ members of all ages and identities, because, you know, it's important. We've suffered under scrutiny for so long that we deserve the time and rights and, you know, the space to be as elegant and creative and powerful. You know, LGBTQ folks are so powerful, right? We are constantly fighting against so many odds. We're constantly being told so many things, and let me tell you, it is such a beautiful moment to see these youth come out of their shells, kind of once they realize that they're in a community that will embrace them regardless of their identity, their orientation, their pronouns, or whether they're not sure. Just being able to be given the grace to discover who you are is my incredible, like, my favorite part of my job. You know, these self-professed, shy, quiet kids being loud and proud, just like a bubbling beam of excitement.
I hope, listeners, that makes you feel really comfortable of sending folks over to Chris and getting to know the center and feeling reassured that youth are being well taken care of at the center for all the folks doing youth programming. I think it's something we can feel really good about. So thank you for being on the show today.
No, thank you so much for having me, Karen. It was a wonderful pleasure. And I always love talking about the youth program and the important work that youth are doing.
You've been listening to Outsources with Chris Castaneda and, before that, Bruce Parker, both from Out Boulder County. Listen to Outsources every Monday evening at 6:30 on KGNU Radio, or stream it on your computer or on our app anytime, or later on the news blog or on the archives. Look for Outsources. This is your host, Karen Rayforth. Good evening.